gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to us. And Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds this morning. Draw us close to you and help us to see more of the living Christ in each of our lives. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40. I'm actually going to start at verse 12. Please stand in honor of God's word. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has instructed him? Whom did he consult for his enlightenment, and who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are counted as dust on the scales. See, he takes up the isles like fine dust. Lebanon would not provide fuel enough, nor are its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A workman cast it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for its silver chains. As a gift, one chooses mulberry wood, wood that will not rot, then seeks out a skilled artisan to set up an image that will not topple. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Chuck Swindoll writes in his book, Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life, our pace, the incessant activity, the noise, the interruptions, the deadlines and demands, the daily schedule and the periodic feelings of failure and futility bombard our beings like the shelling of a beach head. Our natural tendency is to wave a flag shouting, I give up, I surrender. This, of course, is a dangerous extreme of being weary. The decision to bail out, to throw in the towel, to give in to discouragement and give up. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel so weary that you want to throw in the towel? Weary of waiting? Weary of sad news? Weary from aches and pains of an aging body? Weary of work? Weary of criticism? Weary of just a daily schedule? Weary of a world that has gone astray? Weary of politicians? Weary of fear and uncertainty? There was a man on the side of the road hitchhiking on a very dark night in the middle of a storm. It was late at night and no cars were passing. The storm was so strong that he could hardly see a few feet ahead of him. Suddenly, he saw a car come towards him and stop. Without further thought, he got in the back seat of the car, closed the door, and when he turns to thank the driver for stopping for him, he realizes there's nobody behind the wheel. The car starts slowly down the road again. The guy looks at the road ahead and sees a curve coming his way, and scared, he closes his eyes and he starts to pray for his life. And just before the car reaches the curve, a hand appears through the window and turns the steering wheel. The guy, paralyzed with fear, watches how the hand appears every time they come to a curve in the road. Gathering his strength, he leaps from the car and he runs to the nearest town. He quickly asks in the cafe, he asks for a cup of stiff coffee. He quickly drinks his coffee and starts telling everybody about the horrible experience he's just been through. About a half hour later, two guys walk into the same cafe, and one says to the other, "Look, Bob, there's that guy who got in the car when we were pushing it down the road." Well, this wonderful passage of Scripture this morning informs us that when we are weary and we are paralyzed by fear, there is a hand that not only steers us in the right direction, but it also lifts us up and sets us soaring. Isaiah's vision in chapter 40 of today's Scripture passage shifts forward 100 years into the land of Babylon, where the children of Judah have been in exile so long that they have given up hope of ever being able to return to their homeland. The Lord deals with his rebellious children earlier in this book, in the earlier chapters, with judgment. But now God is speaking words of comfort for his wounded, hurting children who are in exile. He assures them of his love, of his salvation, his deliverance from Babylon, the return to Judah, and the restoration of Jerusalem. The generation of people who remembered their homeland were no longer living. So this whole new generation had to focus on that prophet's words. Each day they saw the greatness and power of Babylon before them, and many of the children of Israel had become wealthy merchants with a sense of security even in this exiled land. The thought of leaving Babylon for a 700-mile trek caused the children of Israel to have fear and to have some second thoughts. And it is in that context that the Lord addresses them in this passage of Scripture. The Lord makes it quite clear through a series of questions to them that he is more powerful than the nations, than graven images, than idols, than rulers, and finally, any form of weakness. In verses 12 through 17 that I read, the Lord is reminding the children of Israel that he is Lord of all creation and the one with all the knowledge, so they do not need to fear the power of Babylon. In verses 18 through 20, he illustrates how ridiculous their fear is in trusting an idol that is lifeless. It must be held up so that it will not topple as compared to trusting in the living Lord, who is a strong foundation. In verses 21 through 24, the Lord assures the children of Israel that he is high and lifted up and sees what's going on, and that all the rulers are under God's control. In verses 25 through 26, the Lord reminds the children of Israel to worship the Creator and not the creation. And then in those passages that maybe is your favorite verses in Scripture, because it's a beautiful passage of Scripture, verses 27 through 31, the children of Israel feared weakness and weariness in returning back to their homeland. And the Lord offers those wonderful words of promise that perhaps are significant to you as he promises what he will do for the children of Israel. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. These passages of Scripture are not just for the children of Israel. They are for you and me as well. Because life can wear you down, amen? Just even daily life. I remember I had a friend years ago in my home church in Pittsburgh, and her mother, I remember her saying, you know, it's just the little things in life that get you down. Sometimes it's just the everyday routine that can get you down, that can wear you down. And so we need to hear these words that when we are weary and are ready to throw in the towel, let us be reminded quite clearly from God's word. The Lord does not faint or grow weary, and he exchanges our weakness and our weariness and our fear with his incredible power. It's a wonderful promise that when we are so weary and powerless and faint, the Lord gives us power and strengthens us. He allows us to mount up with wings like eagles and to be set soaring. Isn't it a wonderful sight to see an eagle that has those giant wings expanded nearly 8 feet across? It's amazing when you think of that bird and how they just soar across the sky. So effortlessly. And that is what the Lord intends for you and for me. He will lift us up with his power and his strength. But we must wait on the Lord, which means we must put our hope and our trust in him. So you ask, well, how do we wait? Well, imagine the scene in a particular day of the life of Jesus. Our Lord had just left the synagogue and he goes to the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. Simon Peter's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. Jesus takes her by the hand and helps her up, and the fever leaves her and she is healed. Now that evening, the scripture tells us, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town shows up at the door. And Jesus is healing one after another. And anyone with dealing with all the sickness and demon-possessed people, it would totally wear you out. And by the time Jesus went to bed to sleep that night, there had to have been sheer exhaustion and weariness in that human part of him. It surely would have been a night when most of us would have wanted to stay in bed and not have an alarm go off or the telephone ring. But listen to what Jesus did the next morning. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He obviously needed time with the Father. We're not sure how long he's there before he is interrupted. Simon and his companions went to look for him, the scripture tells us, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." So he's had this unbelievable evening with one after another, the whole town comes to receive his healing power. He goes off in the morning to pray, and we don't know how long he's been there, but then they're already coming. The whole place is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. And Jesus, after being refreshed in the Father's presence, is ready and equipped and strengthened to go on for more ministry, more encounters with the sick and the demon-possessed. Jesus replies, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Over and over again, through Jesus' earthly ministry, we see him pulling away to go to a solitary place to pray. So that's the key for you and me. In those times when we are absolutely weary, we are called to wait on the Lord, which means to have hope and trust in him. And I would encourage you, if you are weary and feeling powerless this morning, look to the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take time with the Lord. If you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, open your heart to him today. Ask him to abide in your life. Rest in his presence. Come before him in total honesty about what's going on with you and your life. Pull apart from all the demands that make you weary and rest in the arms of Jesus. As someone has so wisely said, pull apart before you fall apart. And there's a lot of truth to that. The energy that results from waiting on the Lord is not always a boundless vigor, you know, that you just jump and, whoa, I got this energy from the Lord. And, you know, sometimes it's just the simple ability to carry on. Chuck Swindoll says, "But let's understand that God does not dispense strength and encouragement like a druggist fills your prescription. The Lord doesn't promise to give us something to take so we can handle our weary moments. He promises us himself. That is all, and that is enough. Those who wait on the Lord, who rely on him, will have a sustaining vigor that exceeds even that of the young and the naturally strong." Today's scripture is addressed to people who have been worn down. To them, the prophet advises, wait for the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord will not be weary. The poet Annie Johnson Flint died in 1932. She was born in Vineland, New Jersey, and she was orphaned at age 6 and severely afflicted with arthritis in her teens, so that before she reached adulthood, she was unable to even walk. She had wanted to be a composer and concert pianist, but when illness deprived her of the ability to play the piano, she turned to poetry instead, pounding out the words on a typewriter with her knuckles after the disease rendered her unable to open her hands. She eventually came to see poetry as her calling from God. Here's her witness in one of these poems that she wrote, and it's entitled "A Red Sea Place." She uses that image of Moses getting ready to cross in the Israelites getting ready to cross the Red Sea, and he sees the sea before him. And she uses that image as an image of difficulty. Hear these words. Have you come to the Red Sea place in your life where, in spite of all you can do, there is no way out, there is no way back, there is no other way but through? Then wait on the Lord with a trust serene till the night of your fear is gone. He will send the wind, he will heap the floods when he says to your soul, go on. And his hand will lead you through, clear through, ere the watery walls roll down. No foe can reach you, no wave can touch, no mightiest sea can drown. The tossing billows may rear their crest, their foam at your feet may break, but over their bed you shall walk dry shod in the path that your Lord will make. In the morning watch, neath a lifted cloud, you shall see but the Lord alone, when he leads you on from the place of the sea to a land that you have not known. And your fears shall pass as your foes have passed. You shall no more be afraid. You shall sing his praise in a better place, a place that his hand has made. Pulling apart and coming into the wonderful presence of our Lord Jesus renews us. And we can experience how Jesus lifts us up over and over again, placing us in a new place where we are stronger than we were before. We can soar like the eagles because we serve and worship a Savior, Jesus Christ, who was resurrected 3 days after his crucifixion for our sins and our lives, and he gives over and over and over again the strength to us when we are weary. Pull apart. Spend time alone with Jesus and allow him to minister to you in a deep way to renew your strength that will allow you to soar on the wings of eagles. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you and praise you for the way in which you lift us up when we are so weary. Father, there are so many things that can make us weary in this life. Just daily life can make us weary. The whole aging process and all the difficulties of movement can make us weary. Job demands can make us weary. Dealing with difficult people can make us weary. Dealing with the craziness of our world can make us weary. There are so many things, Lord, that can cause us to just want to give up and throw in the towel. But Lord, we know that that's not your desire for your people. And we thank you and praise you that we can pull apart, we can sit down, we can kneel, we can stand in your holy presence and just quiet our hearts and our minds before you. And when we do that and when we lay out all of those things before you, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you that there is something that happens to us. It's not a pill that we take, but it's your incredible presence that when we are weak, then you are strong. And we rely on your strength. Lord, so often we get so busy and we get so frustrated and we go on and on and on in our own way. Help us to just stop, to pull back, and to rest in your arms, that you might lift us up. For we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name.